Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with week 90 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it is me, the King of Kangaroos. That's right, I'm bringing it back, the Lone Bolt Wanderer.
That's a new one.
Fuck, that's been a while.
Yeah. And we got a lot of serious stuff to talk about today. The main focus of this podcast will be the Nintendo Switch because the reveal is coming up very closely. But so before that, we have a couple of changes we're making to the podcast in 2017 that we wanted to make you guys aware of. And they're big changes. These are not subtle changes. And one of them is pretty obvious that you guys most likely have seen coming, which is that Noah's not going to be a part of the podcast. That feels really weird to say.
That feels really close, man.
Yeah, it's really sad, guys. We don't want anyone giving him shit or anything. It's just that, obviously, we want to move this show forward. When Noah was very consistent, he has a life, mind you. He's got a lot of responsibilities. I'm one of his best friends. I know what he's going through. Trust me when I say it is hard for him to be a part of the podcast. And so, it wasn't feasible because when you look at 2015 when we started this podcast, and how, you know, we were constantly getting special guests on, we were having longer episodes. In 2016, I don't want to say we regressed. I think we got comfortable, though. With that comfort, I think came some steps backwards for us, where we had shorter episodes. Sometimes we cop out on certain segments. We didn't have nearly any special guests that much throughout 2016, which is something we're looking to change this year. And not saying that boils down to Noah, but it's just
that came down to us.
It's just more so that consistency. I remember when we set up special guests, for example, we were all three of us wanted to be there. And even that wasn't something we were on the same page with. So what we're looking to in the future is we do have a replacement in mind for Noah. We don't want to say anything yet. We just want to confirm it with the other person. But we think you guys are really going to like the person who's going to be subbing in. It's someone who you guys have liked very much in the past. But, yeah, it's really sad. You know, like I said, Noah's one of my best friends, and it really sucks that he can't be a part of this anymore. But
yeah, and it's – when we record the podcast, we always, you know – at least I do anyways, at the back of my head. Podcasts that are recorded with three people always just are better. There's no other way to put it. They're more lively, there's more discussion, more conversation, there's back and forth, as opposed to just two people talking to each other for an hour to an hour and a half. And I think that's been leading towards the shorter episodes too. Yeah. Plus, it leads to much more certainty when we know every week we have three people that are going to be on the cast. And if we want to get a guest, that's four people, right? Mm-hmm. And when it's just two people, or even either just Maddie or just myself, when either of us aren't available, it's very, very difficult to get together guests because you're having to get together two to three guests at any one time. And again, we don't want anyone giving Noah shit for this because he's got a life to live and he has so many other responsibilities. It just works out that I personally can make the podcast on the Saturday mornings that we record my time. So it's convenient for me, but it isn't convenient for him. And that's the reasons why he hasn't been making it. So please don't give him shit. And if anything, you know, thank him for being on the podcast for so long, because this is a hard decision to make. And, you know, it's taken us how long to make it?
Yeah, we like... To be honest, it's come up in passing, and each time we were like, no, we can't do that, you know, because I view Noah as like the comic relief, you know, he'd be the guy who would just bring the laughs in.
Podcasts are so much better with him, Maddie. They really are.
Yeah, so it's not, like I said, it's not a decision we're taking lightly, and it's not something we wanted to make irrationally, just jumping the gun on it. We wanted to try to give him as many chances as possible, but at the end of the day, we kind of had to call the shot and be like, look –
Yeah.
We get that you're busy, but this is kind of how things have to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, be sure to send him a nice, lovely tweet or something, thanking him for all his time. And we're making some changes to the format of the podcast. Nothing drastic on that end, but Loan, I'll let you explain that bit.
They're going to be talking about Japanese anime for the rest of the year. Dragon Ball Super is getting real good.
Yeah, we just dropped 2,000 viewers. Okay.
Yeah, everyone's just clicked off. Please look at the analytics, by the way. I want to see if there's been any drop off at this point. But more seriously, we obviously every week when we get together to do the podcast, Maddie and I always ask the question, all right, what Bethesda news is there, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But the problem with that is that Bethesda's not always spitting out news. Like, they are becoming a big publisher, but they're not the kind of publisher. To be honest, no publisher is like this, where every week there's always brand new news to talk about. Yeah. That was the case when Fallout 4 was a thing. That was the case, you know, when Dishonored 2 was a thing. But now, it's so usually hard to get news.
Yeah, you got to wait to that last month before the game comes out to get that weekly news. And before that, it's like news every now and then, speculation, toss that in. Which isn't a bad thing, and we're still going to focus on that. But, Loan, what are we looking at right now?
So, we are not... Okay, we want to make this clear, first of all, that this is not 100% concrete. Right now, we do want to get the feedback of viewers on this, so please let us know your thoughts in the comments below. What do you want to see, and also what do you think about what we're about to talk about now? But we want to try and have a dedicated segment on general gaming news. We kind of had that before when we had the segment where we talk about the games we played this week and our favorite gaming news. We want to try and split that up a bit. So whenever there is Bethesda news, we will talk about that, and we'll talk about that first up. And then we'll move on to a dedicated segment for general gaming news. So essentially, we're splitting what was one segment before into two different segments. And hopefully that might add to the length of the podcast too. So again, if there's Bethesda news, we talk about it. If there's not, we don't talk about it. And we just move straight to general gaming news. Then we talk about, you know, gaming news that just interests us. And this podcast, it's about the Nintendo Switch, of course, because it's, you know, in hype mode at the moment. It might be about some other games or some other hardware or consoles or whatever it is. Really, there's nothing to hold us back with general gaming news. And the importance of that is that there's always general gaming news going around. Like, there's nothing that's going to prevent us from getting news each and every week, which is the case when it's just purely focused on Bethesda. And we think that that's important for our podcast moving forward. First, it makes the job easier for us because it's easier to get news in that regard. Yeah. But second of all, it also allows us to keep up to date with the games industry, you know, generally, and people that are watching the podcast would be able to, all right, I want to sit down this segment. I know exactly what happened in games this week, and we can move forward. And would you agree with that, Maddie? Would you think that's beneficial?
Yeah. I also think that what this new format allows us to do is, because we're going to be accessing more games in general, we can apply our, I'd like to call it like the Fallout 4 formula we had, where we brought in voice actors and directors from the game before launch for interviews. Yeah. And so what we're looking to do is taking, for example, a big hyped game right now is probably Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
Yeah, take the voice actors from the new protagonist for that, maybe interview them on their experience so far, or a director and how they're writing the story, stuff along those lines to get more insight, to get more special guests on the podcast. Where, you know, what made this podcast special really was the Bethesda focus. So we're not getting rid of that whatsoever. It's just more so we're spreading the wings here, and we're making sure that when there's Bethesda stuff, we're the ones right on top of it, because we're the ones who most of you guys look to for that reaction. But we want to make sure that when there's not Bethesda stuff, that the podcast is equally as exciting, something you guys want to look forward to on those, like, technically off weeks for Bethesda.
Yeah, and it's something. So we have something to rely back on, because, again, there's not always that news going around. So we'll have that general gaming news segment, then we'll talk again about the games that we've played this week, and then we go on to fan questions. So it's not really a drastic change, and to be honest, it's kind of what we've been doing for a while now.
It's just
got
a label.
Exactly, and we're solidifying it a little bit more. So, again, please let us know what you think. If you don't agree with that, if there are any changes you want us to make, but we think that this is important for the podcast moving forward, because, it's too hard to get news every week when it doesn't exist. It's just the reality.
I agree. So those are some changes coming in 2017. Nothing huge. A lot of people like to do the drastic overhaul for 2017, but We got some other changes coming up in the future that we'll talk about more for the podcast. But for now, these are the main changes that we want to make you guys aware of right off the bat with the exit of Noah, the introduction of someone new, which I'm sure you guys will hear from quite soon, and some format changes. So we hope you guys are excited. And like Alone said, we want to hear what you have to say in order to adjust to your feedback and make sure the show is good for you guys.
Yeah.
So with that out of the way, how about we talk about video games?
Fuck yeah. Let's talk about the Switch.
Yep.
So Maddie and I, again, because news has been dry, we wanted to do a big predictions podcast on the Nintendo Switch because the presentation for the Switch is next week. I think for Australia, it's Friday at 3 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard. What is it the case in the U.S., Maddie? Thursday?
Ooh, see, I think it's Thursday at 8 p.m. I don't even know.
I want to say it's Thursday at 8 p.m. I think that's my guess.
let me give it a quick search.
But yeah, so this presentation's coming up. Maddie, we'll get the time for you US people. But we wanted to talk about all of our predictions because right now the Nintendo Switch hype train is really in rumor mill at the moment.
Yes, and big time.
We thought that if we can give all our predictions, have the presentation come next Friday, and then that would be perfect timing for us the next day, literally, to record the podcast again and say, all right, what did you get right?
You're right.
Yeah, there you go. So what we got wrong?
Sorry. Thursday. Wait, the 12th is Thursday, correct?
Yes.
Yes, Thursday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard. So great. I'll be up nice fucking late watching this shit. Can never be early for me.
It's going to be a good time for me. Actually, I'll be at work, so that'll be interesting. Talking to my boss. I need to watch the Switch presentation. So it'll be perfect timing for us once we get back from the presentation next week for the next podcast to see whether we were close with our predictions. So we want to do that now. And we made a little bit of a list. And I think the first prediction that we should probably talk about is the price of the Nintendo Switch. I think that's the one thing that everyone really wants to know. So, Maddie, what do you think is going to be the price of the Nintendo Switch?
It's tough because it's got some interesting tech. That's the thing. The goal of the system is to take console games on the go entirely. So the example they use and I always go to is Skyrim. That's a big game. I can't imagine tech for that being cheap. But also, Nintendo wants the console to sell, and you're competing against established companies like PlayStation, Xbox, who have systems that were selling for $250 during the holiday season, $250 a piece. So my guess, with all that accounted for, is between $300 and $350.
See, I would say it's going to be... I want to say $300. If I was to give a definitive price, it'd be $300. I think... because of the rumors that I've heard, there's going to be two different models for the Nintendo Switch. There's going to be one base model, and there's going to be one that has a bundled game with a little bit more storage, which I think, to be honest, most people are going to get. I think that that base model will be $250, and I think the bundle will be $300. I was looking at some of the prices on GameStop's US website for the prices of the Xbox One and PS4. Fuck, there are a lot of bundles, can I just say? Fuck me. Like, there are different games and different hard drive sizes and whatever. But the general consistency I saw, you know, barring all specials that were going on in sales, those consoles are about $300. Is that right, Maddie? Yeah. Around there?
Yeah. I mean, during the holidays, they all dropped off to $250. But yeah, they're back to around $300.
And we saw how detrimental it was with the Xbox One being bundled with the Kinect because that price... difference or the differential between the PS4 from memory was about $100. That really hurt Xbox One sales initially, and they've started to catch up, especially in the US, and that's because of this heavy price reduction that they've been having to the $250 to $300 mark. I think that if the Nintendo Switch really wants to be competitive, it can't hit more than $300. I'm happy if there was a really good bundle at $350, maybe an awesome amount of storage and maybe 1 to 2 games. But I don't think it should go above $300 and definitely not $350. If it goes $400, that's too expensive. That's way too expensive. And I think that's on par with what the Xbox One originally was in the US. So I think they want to stay away from that fucking price point with a 10-foot pole. Mm-hmm. So that's my prediction for the Switch.
Yeah, I'd say around the $300, and then a bundle be like $350.
Yeah.
Is the one most people would get. Like maybe it'll come with a Wii Sports-esque game, like one of those starter games, and the extra controller and something else. I don't fucking know.
Like Pro Controller or whatever it is. But you say that, you know, because of the hardware, it might be upwards of 350. But we'll talk about the specific our spec predictions later. But the hardware in and of itself is not that revolutionary in the sense. Like, I know that you can, you know, dock it and you can play it on the go and whatever. But in terms of the actual raw graphical capabilities of the Switch, what I've heard is that it's not even on par to a PS4 or Xbox One. And if there's going to be any real price...
I didn't expect that either. I'm just thinking...
No, I don't think anyone did, to be honest. But I'm saying that I don't think that because of that, I don't think that the Switch is going to be as expensive as some people might think. I think that Nintendo, they might want to price it at a stage where they're making a profit on each console, probably. But I don't think it's going to be as expensive as some people might think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if I saw it for $300, $350, I'd jump right on top of it. I'm probably going to jump on it regardless. I wouldn't say regardless of price, but I'm not out of hype, though, because like I know there's games I'm going to want to cover on it. Like seeing Skyrim on there, okay, like I definitely want to make a video just discussing that more, how it runs, how it feels. So for me, I see a lot of potential in it for experiencing other games.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm probably going to jump on it no matter what. But I mean, like, put it this way, I'll put $300, $350 on it without regret, but once it hits $400, I'll sit there and be like, oh, this hurts, you know what I'm saying? So that's
you'll do the double take. And that's the thing, though, Maddie. Like, we're saying this as... And I agree with you that I'd purchase it around that price point. I think for Australians, that would be around the $400 mark, roughly, anyways.
Right.
Australian AUD, that is. But we're saying this as hardcore gamers that are really excited for the Switch. We also need to think about the more casual market that Nintendo is trying to appeal to. And, of course, initially you'll have your hardcore fans that are buying it at a $300 to $350. But in terms of casual people wanting to get into games, which Nintendo is undoubtedly trying to market to, especially by the tone of their latest advertisement or their launch advertisement, I don't know whether casual lay people would want to buy a console that's priced at $350 plus. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Nintendo Switch is really going to take off maybe once there's a price cut of some sort. I understand that initially they have the price at that point, but yeah, they can't go too high.
Yeah, what Nintendo needs to realize is right now the market's already established. They're coming in so late. Like, people will, if the price isn't right, people will literally see that and turn their head and say, oh, I'm going to get a PS4 or an Xbox One because my friends have that already. Why invest in something new? Because then all your friends got to invest in that new thing. So they really need to be smart with this, especially because things are moving forward where during this E3, for sure, we're hearing more about the Xbox Scorpio, which is being claimed to be the most, by Xbox, mind you, they're saying that it's the most powerful game console ever created. So those are hefty words, and if someone sees that or hears about that and wants to wait for that and then make the decision in the summer on whether or not they should buy a Switch, you know, that's also a thing that could play into it.
Yeah, so, all right, we'll see. So let's just summarize at this point. We think it's, well, I think it's going to be 300. That's going to be my specific prediction. What's yours?
300. Yeah, I'll say
300. All right, so we'll come back to this podcast and see if we're fucking right. I hope we are, Maddie. I hope we're like dead on with this shit.
It really skyrocketed our credibility.
Damn straight. All right, so let's talk about launch games. And specifically, I think we should talk about Breath of the Wild, The Legend of Zelda first, because there's a lot of different rumors that are going around, and for people that don't know, initially there was a rumor that Nintendo Switch was... Breath of the Wild was going to be delayed. And it was going to be delayed because of a lot of localization issues. So essentially, the Nintendo of Europe team said that it's going to... rumored anyways, that it's going to take much longer than anticipated to localize the game for European markets. Because, of course, with European markets, they don't just speak English. They speak French, Spanish, Italian, etc. So that was going to take longer than expected. And there was a chance that Breath of the Wild wasn't going to be a launch title in March and that it could be delayed. And instead, there would be a Mario game of some sort. Now the rumors are that for Japan and America, North America, that Breath of the Wild will be a launch title because those localization issues aren't as bad because it's English and Japanese, right? That there's no need to localize to any other languages. But with Europe, that it still might be delayed because of those issues. So I guess the first prediction that we need to make around, is Breath of the Wild going to be a launch title? Is it going to be a launch title for one territory and not for other territory. What do you think about Breath of the Wild? Your predictions for that being a launch title or not?
If I'm Nintendo, I want as many people to play that game as possible, because that's going to be probably their first definitive game for the console. That's going to be the, like, you think Nintendo Switch, you think Breath of the Wild. Like, that's probably what they want. So if I'm them, if you got to delay the launch for EU by a month, then I say just wait that extra month for the entire thing. Because here's the thing, is that if I'm a gamer, not if I'm a gamer, if I'm like a more casual gamer, I like Zelda, and I buy the system, and I see within a month that the big game I'm waiting for is going to be there, that's not too long of a wait where I think that the purchase wouldn't be wasted, if that makes any sense. It's not like you're jumping the gun. It's not like you have to wait, you know, a couple of months, and then you can buy the console down the line, right? You know, it would still get people buying the console on day one, no matter what. So for me, I think if I'm Nintendo, you want everyone talking about Zelda, because I have no doubt in my mind this is going to be a game that's reviewed incredibly well, even though I'm not like the hugest Zelda fan. I have no doubt in my mind it's going to do very well critically and with the fans. So for me, I'd want everyone talking about it. Social media, word of mouth is like the best form of marketing, really.
Yeah, and importantly, what you don't want to do is create animosity between different territories. Yeah. You don't want one territory to feel left out, because when you look at the European game market, that market is so heavily invested in the PS4, and it isn't funny. A lot of the times when Xbox One is talked about outselling the PS4, that's always about North America. When you look at Europe, the PS4 is kicking the Xbox One's ass fucking left, right, and center. That's happening on a consistent basis. So as you said before, Matty, you that really needs something to try and incentivize gamers in Europe especially to get away from their PS4, to get away from the console that all their friends own, and purchase something else. And one way to be able to do that is, one, by having Breath of the Wild on there as a launch title. But secondly, not feel like that they're being, I guess, treated worse just because they're in a different market. Because if that happens, they're going to be like, well, fuck it, I'll keep playing my PS4, or I go buy a PS4. So that's a definite risk that I think... Of course, the easy answer is to say that, you know, Nintendo should release it as a launch title, but it's obviously not that simple, right? I think my predictions specifically are that they'll release it as a launch title across the globe, and if there are any localization issues with languages, etc., those will be patched in. That's my guess. I think if they can release the game in North America with an English localization from Japanese, then they can easily do that with the English version in Europe, in Australia, in other territories, and then later patch in a localized version. Because at least that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, just for me, like, I think you kind of solidified my point when you were like, you don't want to create animosity, especially with how, I didn't even think how deep the EU is into the PS4. You know, that couple week delay, you know, we live in a generation of gamers who, like, now, launch date, got to get the game. Even though that sucks, I think people should just be more patient with their games. That's how it is. And so, for me, that if you already got your PS4, you already got your games, and you hear that, oh, I'm getting it 2 weeks late, most people will go, oh, fuck that then, you know?
Yeah.
But we got to remember, though, this is Zelda, this is Nintendo. There's a chance that there's nostalgia, there's sentimental value there. Where people might say, oh, you know, I might get this. So I think if I'm Nintendo, I don't want to take any chances. That's what I'm thinking. You want to take the smart and safe course throughout this entire thing. If they got to wait a month, that's fine. You know, if everyone, I'm saying everyone, mind you, has to wait a month so that everyone gets it at the same time, I think that's fine. Because as someone who likes JRPGs a lot, for example, I can't describe how much it bothers me when Japan gets the game 2 months early. It bothers me so much. I'm not even kidding. I know those out there who listen, who like JRPGs, suffer for the same thing. That everyone's playing the game, all the spoilers are out, the excitement's kind of gone, and then the Americas get it. It's like, okay, great. Now we finally have some fun.
And we get that with not just games as well, but especially with anime. Like, for example, Dragon Ball Super, right? Yeah. I know we've just completely switched the discussion to talk about Japanese anime. I know, but it's important because, say, with that anime, right, after about, what is it, a year of seeing the Japanese version, we are just about to get the very first episode of the English dub. That's insane. Like, we are so excited, and we get, like, I'm not being ungrateful, because I understand that there are issues with localization and getting the English voice actors in and making sure it's fit for an English audience. I understand all that. But It's just saying that it still feels shitty as someone that's in an English-speaking territory that has to wait that long. And I've been watching the Japanese version fine, but not many people have been doing that. So applying that to the Nintendo Switch scenario, I couldn't imagine how it would feel to be in another territory, listening and reading about people playing, you know, Breath of the Wild, saying how great of a game it is, and thinking, well, why can't I get it? And putting aside, again, all of those understandable things about localization, etc., it still feels shitty. You know, it doesn't matter how you cut it. It still feels shitty if you are prevented getting something because of that delay in release. And this has happened in Australia recently, Maddie, with Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the Ultimate version. It's been delayed because of classification issues in Australia by 2 months.
Interesting.
People feel shit about that, right?
Yeah. Well, that sucks, especially because a lot of people are excited for Infinite.
Mm-hmm. So what are your predictions about Breath of the Wild? Do you think it's going to have a staggered release date? Do you think that they're going to release...
One solid global release date is my guess.
You think they're going to go for it?
I don't know when. I don't know if it'll be launch or not. That's one thing I'm indecisive about. I can't... Because there's a chance it could be a Mario game, right? I think there's a good possibility of that. Because I feel like you're going to have two big launch titles, or three. Look at the PS4, the Xbox One, each of them had the three big launch titles. None of them were particularly good, but I mean, I like Dead Rising 3, but like,
you know, I'm so lukewarm on that game.
Yeah, Xbox One, but that's the thing, none of them were really good. Xbox One had Rise, Son of Rome,
they have
Dead
a
Rising
Halo?
3, and something else. And then PS4 had like Killzone Shadowfall, which is okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Knack and something else. I can't remember the third for either of them. But what I'm saying is that they weren't spectacular and the system still sold. So what I'm thinking is that for the Nintendo Switch, they're going to at least have two big games. Mm-hmm. One of them could be Breath of the Wild. The other could be, oh man, imagine it's like a new Metroid game.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be fucking awesome.
I'd be very
so you're saying that globally it's going to be released, you know, on the same day or close to the same day, no matter what. I'm saying that they're going to release the English version and then patch in localized versions later.
Yeah, correct.
That's going to be interesting. Hopefully we get that information, because not only is there like the regular presentation next week, there's also a second Treehouse presentation where they're going more into depth about the games that are being released. So we might have to keep an eye on that as well to see what else is coming out and when it's coming out. But let's talk about this unannounced Mario game, because right now all that we've heard about this other Mario game is that it'll be the launch title if Breath of the Wild is not the launch title. Do you think that we'll hear anything about this random Mario game? Because we know that Mario Kart Switch is probably going to be coming, but something like, you know, Super Mario 64, for example, or Mario Galaxy. Do you think that we're going to hear anything about that if they're going to get Breath of the Wild out as the launch title?
Yeah, show some gameplay. Because what they obviously need to do is establish their first party titles. That's their strongest suit, is that Nintendo has arguably the best exclusives. But
they have the best exclusives. Like I've always said that, in my opinion, probably. Anyways. But continue.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that. But they gotta. For me, I think the biggest point you need to hammer home is your third party support. That was what killed the Wii U in a lot of ways. Was that just no one fucking made games for it, and when they did, they were months late. It was terrible. Mm. You know, like I always look at Watch Dogs as that example that came out like, I don't even remember how many months late, but it only sold like a couple hundred thousand copies. Like I think most people probably bought it. It's like, ha-ha, Watch Dogs on the Wii U. This is stupid. Yeah. So that's what, if I'm Nintendo, like, yeah, you're going to have your big first party games, but I'd be focusing, I'm going to personally be looking for a third party. Because here's the thing, is that with Nintendo, I know I'm going to get my Zelda, Mario, Star Fox, Pokemon, hopefully on the Switch.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about that next, but go on.
But, you know, I'm not saying that that's like a shortcoming or something I'm taking for granted. I'm more so just saying that I would love to hear more about the third-party support. Just seeing other games running on the system, not through a trailer, but actually like, here's 3 minutes of this, here's 2 minutes of this, 5 minutes of this, something along those lines. Just to show that there are cool, exciting games coming to the Nintendo Switch.
So our next section, we'll be talking about third-party games and support, so we'll get to that. What I do want to ask, Maddie, is do you think that we're going to be getting a Pokemon Stars. There's been rumors about Pokemon Stars, essentially, you know, Sun and Moon. There's going to be a version for the Nintendo Switch. Do you think there will be Pokemon Stars, or do you think there's going to be a standalone Pokemon game for the Switch?
Standalone, I don't think. I think...
Like, can't we just get a Pokemon Skyrim game? Like, can't that fucking
that's
be
that's what I want so badly. A Pokemon standalone game is probably the best idea, right? It's the best idea. Especially because when you think of it this way, the focus is, like I've mentioned multiple times, for the Switch is to take console gaming on the go. You already have Pokemon on the go, right? With Moon just recently coming out. And it was it was the fastest selling Pokemon game, I think, in the U.S. Ever, which is huge. And well-deserved, mind you. Moon is a fucking amazing game. Sun and Moon. I played Moon, for those who were wondering. But I think, yes, Stars would be cool, but just it wouldn't make much sense because all it would be doing is saying, we have a Pokemon game on the Nintendo Switch. That's the vibe I'm getting.
I think it's going to happen, though, because I understand what you're saying. I think it's going to happen because if it's an easy port, then why the fuck not? Like, this is another title that can just be thrown onto the Switch with relative ease. I'm making it to be a huge oversimplification, but, you know, if it is a relative easy process, relatively, I think that it's a no-brainer to put a Pokemon Stars on the Switch.
Yeah,
because
if it's easy, do it.
Exactly. Like, I know that they're probably going to be releasing some sort of other Pokemon game for the Switch sometime in the future, but if we're trying to bolster the number of games on this new console, then fuck yeah, like, just release it. Like, no, I don't think anyone's going to ask the question, well, why is this on the Switch? Like, I think if there's an easy way, if you already own it on the 3DS to transfer your Pokemon over, possibly your saves over to the Switch, I don't think anyone that currently owns the game is going to feel shitty about it. And for people that are just getting into the Switch, what we have to remember is that a lot of people that would be buying the Switch are people that probably don't own a 3DS. They're probably people that are just getting into Nintendo again because we haven't purchased a Nintendo console for ages, whether it's a Wii U, possibly a Wii as well. And I can't see many people, including myself, that a lot of people anyways that also own a 3DS, right? Because, this console is trying to get in new gamers. And I think getting Pokemon Stars on there would be a brilliant idea for those kind of gamers that Nintendo's trying to win back.
But there are some gamers who literally only play Pokemon. It's really common. Yeah, it's really common that there are some gamers who literally, they'll play one game a year, Pokemon. It's strange, because I can't really imagine doing that, but...
All the time.
I don't know, but there are people who do that, so... I think Nintendo would be doing themselves a service by making a Pokemon game on the Switch. Do I expect it? Not really. I'd like to be surprised with it, but I personally don't.
I don't think, this is my prediction, I don't think that it's going to be a launch title. I think it'll be something that's released a little bit down the line, and it might be coming with a bundle of some sort. But I think that a Pokemon Stars is coming eventually, but it won't be a launch title. So that's my prediction for that.
If it's not going to be a launch title, then yeah, make it a standalone Pokemon game, not even Stars that ties into Moon and Sun, like an actual new Pokemon game then. Because then, like, I'll just know and I'd fucking buy a... I think so many people would just buy a system because of that right there. Just, oh yeah, new Pokemon game, standalone, open world, okay. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. And not just Pokemon Stadium, like something that's a true open world. And to be honest, Manny, I need to ask you though, is Pokemon Moon open world or is it not really?
It's very, for a 3DS game, it's very open, tell you the truth. There's a lot of, it's most certainly the most 3D Pokemon game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exploration. There's no like grid travel system, if you know what I mean, as in like you can only go... up, down, left, right, or like diagonal. It's like you can just run in circles, no problem, stuff like that.
That's cool.
The way like you encounter enemies is instead of like they see you and walk up to you, like they'll see you in the distance and call out to you and you'll battle from a distance. So it's a lot more natural in that way. So yeah, there was a lot of subtle changes that made, I think, Pokemon Moon a lot more appealing of a Pokemon game in general. So for me, I'd be so on board for a new Pokemon game. I do have to say, though, that I wouldn't mind, like, a Pokemon Stadium 3 or something like that.
It would be fun. It would
be fun.
You said
Pokemon Stadium. I was like, oh, hold up. I'd love it.
Wait, that was really good.
Yeah. Well, because I thought to myself, this would be a cool chance to make a more focused experience that maybe pushes some of the graphical power of the Nintendo Switch, where I don't think this is going to be a graphical powerhouse, but... you think of a more condensed experience like a Pokemon Stadium game where you're just kind of in the battlefield. There's good effects that can be shown off. You can really make the most realistic looking Pokemon in a video game ever.
Yeah.
I think there's a good opportunity there too. Maybe I'm just thinking too deep into it, but still, I think that might be something that they could look into as well.
No, I think that's true. Alrighty, well, let's just like to tie off this little bit section about launch titles. That I think we've kind of talked about games specifically published by Nintendo, but in terms of other games that are going to be published by Nintendo, we'll see if we have any predictions about that. Of course, we talked about Breath of the Wild. There's also going to be Splatoon and Mario Kart. Do you have any kind of predictions about that? Do you think they're going to be launch titles?
Didn't Mario Kart Switch leak?
I think it did. Like, no, they had it in the launch video, and they had different kinds of gameplay that we hadn't seen in Mario Kart so far. So people are saying that, you know, from the Wii U version, it's going to be a similar version for the Switch.
I saw like an EB Games thing. I think I sent it to you. And,
oh, did you?
Yeah, and there was like a picture of the cover art for the Nintendo Switch's Mario Kart, and it said like 30 new maps or tracks or something like that.
I think that's what it is, yeah. I think there's new tracks and maybe new carts as well, so I think that's an easy prediction.
For launch titles, my biggest prediction is that they're going to take every big Wii U game and just put them over onto the Switch and add new content.
But that's what they were saying for like, I remember this ages ago, right? They were talking about how most of the really good games that are on the Wii U are going to be on the Switch, and I think this is going to be a discussion when we get to the virtual console, but I think you're right about that.
I really think that's a smart plan of action to me personally, is that, okay, great, we have these games. They're obviously very good. Let's add new content to them and put them on the Switch where we're going to have a larger player base. And maybe from there, revive these games and give them more support after secondary launch to keep gamers playing them.
Yeah, because importantly, not many people own
these. You can scatter the launch of these too. So many good Wii U games. Not so many, but you have a good handful of Wii U games that you can redo and put on the Switch that you don't have to put them all out on launch day. But then if you do, you got a good selection of games. Still, point being is that I think that would be a good route for them to take as well.
Well, that we're talking about the virtual console now, essentially. Let's just do some of our predictions for the virtual console. So we know that obviously there will be a virtual console for the Switch. We've seen rumors or heard rumors that there are going to be GameCube titles for the virtual console in addition to other ones. So what are your general predictions about the virtual console for the Nintendo Switch? You know, what kind of consoles do you like Nintendo consoles in the past do you think will be supported? What kind of games do you think will get on the virtual console? Things like that.
I think the virtual console, I've actually never tried it before, I have to be completely honest. But
it's really good.
I saw you were playing, I think, Zelda or something. But for me, I'd say it's going to be the same virtual console as before. You know, the backwards compatibility for most of Nintendo's older systems. But yeah, I think the addition of GameCube is going to be the biggest stick for a lot of people.
Damn,
because
right,
the GameCube was so loved. It was such just a weird system. It was so different, but I loved it so much.
But it was awesome,
Little cube and a tiny fucking disc. It was an adorable game console. It was literally the cutest thing.
It was such a Nintendo console with like the different disc and the shape.
It had a little handle on the back so you could carry it. So, like, it was, oh man, I loved the GameCube so much. I'd love to see a lot of GameCube games come back. For me, I can't think, I mean, Metroid Prime was a GameCube game I played a lot of. I can't think of Star Fox Assault. That's an underrated Star Fox game, okay? I know not a lot of people liked how Star Fox went from the ship to on the boots, you know, boots on ground, third-person shooter. Yeah. I fucking thought that was the sickest thing, though. I had so much fun with that, so I'd like to play that again. Mm. But I really did play a lot of third-party titles on the GameCube. I played Naruto Clash of Ninja. That was a fucking awesome fighting series.
Yeah.
So those are a couple that come to mind. I'd have to go through my old game drawer and look at some of my
Memory for me, I think games that from the GameCube era that are going to be on the virtual console, I have to say first up, it needs to be Super Mario Sunshine. That game is, I don't know if it's available on other consoles, but I remember playing it on the GameCube. That game was so underrated. It's seen as kind of like one of the worst Mario games, but it was really fun. Genuinely, Delfino was such an awesome setting. Like, I would love to see that. Wind Waker, I know that that was probably on another console as well, but I remember playing it on the GameCube. I'd love to see Wind Waker. What, Matty? You don't like it?
I don't like Wind Waker at all.
No! What do you mean you don't like Wind Waker?
I fucking hate that game.
What? Hold the fucking phone. Why?
It's just... Here's the thing. Have you ever, like, played a game and someone asks you, why don't you like this game? And your only reason is, like, it's just not good.
But it's great, though. It's a great game.
I don't feel that way about Wind Waker. It's just that...
You're breaking my heart.
Those beginning sections are so fucking... not even confusing is the right word, because that makes me sound like, oh, you're just an idiot, so that's why you didn't like it. No, it's just more so that it doesn't even know what it wants to do with itself, because it, like, tries to treat it like a stealth game, but then, like, oh, a typical Zelda game, but hey, we're more open here. Oh, here's some combat. Try that out. Like, what the fuck do you want to do? Oh, sail your boat, dude. Like, okay, so you're trying to do a lot of things at once, and you didn't really execute any of them quite well, in my opinion. The game's guidance system, like the maps and shit, just nope. There's Wind Waker's a big NO for me.
Come on, Matthew. This isn't
an opinion from, like, a younger Matthew. Like, oh, you just got bad memories. Like, no, I tried playing it, like, a couple of years ago, and I was just like, I can't
believe you. Legitimately cannot believe you right now. Like, Wind Waker, I know people, like, at the time were looking for a more realistic Legend of Zelda, and the one that they got in the form of Wind Waker. So for people that don't know, let me backtrack, right? People always wanted a realistic looking version of Legend of Zelda, right? And there was a tech demo, I think it was at, like, Space World or something, some sort of like kind of E3-esque, you know, conference, and they released this tech demo for the GameCube, and it was a very realistic looking Legend of Zelda, which we eventually got in Twilight Princess, right?
That was a fucking good game, though. Twilight Princess.
And that's exactly the point that I'm making now, is because I think a lot of people, that the reason why they didn't like Wind Waker was not because of the game itself. It was because of the look. It's because it felt like a kid's game. I really do think that was a big reason why Wind Waker didn't go over so well, because people were looking for this realistic Legend of Zelda and they didn't get it. And that left a bad taste in people's mouths. But it's a really good game. Like, it needs to be given another chance, Matty. Really.
Maybe if I find the time.
Predictions. All right, predictions. That's going to be on the virtual console, as is Super Mario Sunshine. Luigi's Mansion. All right, needs to get on there.
That's a good one.
What else? I'm trying to think of... I don't think there's any other really good GameCube games that I played.
What was the Mario soccer game, Strikers? Or was that the baseball game?
Was that F... Oh, hold up.
It was like Mario something Strikers.
I don't know, man. You play some weird ass games. Let's be honest. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me hear. I'll look it up. Hold on.
Look it up. But in terms of other games, I think Star Wars Rogue Leader. Yeah, let's get that back, huh, Matty?
Yes.
You'd like that? Super Smash Bros. Melee, obviously.
Here it is. Super Mario Strikers, known as Super Mario Football in Europe and Australia, is a 5-on-5 football game. Have you never seen it?
Never.
You'd love it, dude. It's a Super Mario soccer game.
Are you predicting that that's going to be on the virtual console?
Yeah, dude. Only on GameCube. No. What? Dude, but it was like, okay, here. I'm just going to send you a screenshot, okay?
Send me it.
It's a nice screenshot of some in-action gameplay of Mario versus Donkey Kong. You're going to go like, whoa. I apologize to everyone who... Actually, you know what? Never mind.
That's fine. But I think those are going to be the main virtual console games from the GameCube era. In terms of other virtual console games we can predict on, I think those are relatively safe bets. You know, we're going to see the typical ones from the 64 era. We're going to see Super Mario 64. We're going to see Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, like those kinds of games that are already on the virtual console. Games, I don't know how they're going to handle games from the SNES era because of the mini NES. Oh, sorry, NES era.
Turtles in Time, that's okay.
Do you know Turtles in Time was taken off? Like, what was the new Turtles game that was taken off the Steam store?
I made a whole video on it, dude. Don't worry.
Is that coming? All right, that's good. Gotta make sure.
Did you know? It's early for you where we're recording today, but yeah, you should catch up on some of my Activision tweets. I sent you the picture, by the way, so you should give that a peep.
All righty. Well, I think. Do you have any other predictions on the virtual console? But I think we've covered most of them.
No more predictions for that.
All righty. So let's talk about. Oh my god, that picture looks awesome. That looks so cool. What the fuck? Right? Yeah.
Just, bring that shit back.
Okay, bring that shit. That shit looks like a lot of fun. Especially with the research of like games like Rocket League and stuff. I think, that'll be fucking awesome. Alrighty. Let's talk about third party games and support. All right. I'm gonna predict, and I think you'll have to agree with me, that Skyrim will be a launch title for the Switch. And here's why. Okay. You don't show it in the launch advertisement without it being an important title, without it coming in the first place. And I think it's going to be a launch title. The reason why Bethesda wasn't talking about it, I don't think was because it's not coming. I also think it was because Nintendo wants to really control the marketing for everything. And they want everything to be released, to be talked about at a certain date, which is next week, obviously. I think that they just wanted the advertisement itself to be in the minds of audiences, and they didn't want the publishers that are working with them to talk about the games that are coming out. I think that Skyrim will be a launch title. What do you think?
No, I agree. I completely 100% agree. Skyrim will be a fucking launch title. It's gotta be, because here's the thing is that there are the gamers out there who don't like current Nintendo exclusives, but maybe they like the idea of the Switch, the idea of let me play on the go. And that's what the Switch has going for it, is that I'm going to say it again. You can take console games on the go. So for me, if I'm someone who doesn't like Nintendo games, but I like the idea of gaming on the go, I'd love the idea of taking Skyrim over to my friend's house without having to take wires with me and shit. Just boom, bring the whole game with you. So yeah, I really think this has to be a launch title. Just the idea of a big open game like Skyrim, where you know exactly what you're getting. You're getting hundreds of hours of content. You're getting a ton of fun with it. It's been played up and down throughout the entire internet. Like, there's not really anything that should push you away from buying this game if you like that type of game. So I think it's a win scenario for Nintendo, where they need to make this a launch title for the third party.
So Matty and I are predicting that Skyrim will be a launch title for the Nintendo Switch. I'll quickly check off some other rumored third-party games or confirmed third-party games. So Beyond Good and Evil 2 by Ubisoft, do you think that's going to be a launch?
Have we even seen gameplay for that?
Fucking don't know, bro. Don't know.
No, I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that came from. No.
No, all right. No. That random basketball game that's probably by 2K that was shown in the launch trailer, do you think that's going to be
2K16 or 2K17?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. I don't think there's much else. Like, if I'm going to go down the list of third-party games that have been confirmed, there's Just Dance by Ubisoft, Sonic 2017, Dragon Quest, Ukulele, that would be fucking awesome.
That would be,
by the way.
That'd be a great fit.
I don't know if that's going to be a launch title, though. I don't know how far along that is.
Ukulele's coming out in April, I think, so that can't be a launch title. It could be a launch window title.
Yeah. But not Stardew Valley. Title. Maddie, you've played that, haven't you?
Yes. Great fit. That would be a really... Yep. Yep. I love that. That would be awesome.
Hmm. Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom. What the fuck is that, bro?
I think that's a adventure game. That's what they call it, like the point and click.
That just does not sound like it interests me. Lego City Undercover.
Why? Why that Lego game? Why not like The Force Awakens or some shit? Like a good Lego game.
Of course
LEGO
it's
game.
Maddie that's like, why not the Star Wars Lego game? Bring that to the Switch. Fuck.
It's true. I'm such a fucking piece of shit, honestly. It's not that Lego game. Not the one that I don't want. Fuck that.
Like, the question was, do you think it's going to be a launch title? Yeah, but why would it be? Because it's a shit game. Bring another game. Fuck that game. To be honest, though, all right, and this is leading to our predictions about just generally third-party support for the Switch. It seems a bit light on right now, and I understand that because it's just about to come out, right? What are your just general predictions about third-party support for the Switch? Rant about that.
I think there's going to be a lot of surprises. Like, I think Nintendo needs to show, for example, that they're not just going to be a kids console. Like, what would be a big win for that is to bring Doom to the Switch. That's the first game that comes to mind. Bring something along
those lines.
Do you
think that's going to be a good fit, though?
It's not about fitting. If they want to compete with the third party, they got to get as many games on there as possible. And I think they should pick from the best games that came out in 2016. And I think in terms of mature rating games, you want Doom on your system.
Yeah.
I think that would show that Nintendo will make an M-rated game, you know, which they have with the Wii U. But I'm saying establish that with third-party support because it's very much viewed as a kid system. So if you see in the reveal for the Nintendo Switch that some dude, some demon's getting his head crushed under the Doom Soldier's boot and then you show some gameplay for that, I think that would kind of set the tone. Like, yeah, we're going to bring those games too, guys.
Yeah.
Like I said, you're Nintendo. You really, right now, are not in a position to be too safe. Like, just put it all out there.
Do you think that third-party publishers and developers are going to jump on the Switch and start creating games and porting games for it immediately? Or do you think it's going to be a very, very drawn-out process or somewhere in between?
I view it like the PS4 Pro or the HDR support where I think it might... It'll be... I think it's more difficult than making those patches, but I think it'll be not as hard to port the game over as people might think. And with that said, I don't think Nintendo's literally going to have an entire game library from this past generation so far ported onto their Switch. I think the big titles will make their way in there for third-party support, and from that point onwards,
yeah,
they're going to have games launch on the Switch along with everyone else's console.
Yeah. And I think that the reason why we're seeing Skyrim, for example, is because it's just, even though it's like the not most modern-looking game, it was just something that Bethesda could have more easily done. And it's a game that, you know, it's not really that violent. I think that was a really good fit for it. And it was a great test case to show that, yeah, the Nintendo Switch can handle these kinds of looking games, even though it's from 2011.
What's really weird, though, is... I'm not saying this like out of bitterness, more so out of question, is why Skyrim? What about Fallout 4? Isn't that... That's kind of weird, right? You're not going to go with... I mean, technically, Skyrim is... Special Edition is the most recent Bethesda Game Studios title in all technicality. But I'm talking about... Like, Fallout 4 is still being worked on in the sense of you have the VR port going on. Wouldn't it make sense also to have that on the Switch?
I've asked myself why it was Skyrim Special Edition and not Fallout 4.
Might just be because Skyrim's current now.
But I don't know about that, Matty, because I was trying to say, all right, well, which is the more popular franchise at this stage? To be honest, I think Fallout at this stage is more popular, not because it's a better franchise, but because of the way the gaming industry has grown since 2011, since Skyrim was released. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a perfect storm for Fallout 4 when it was released. It sold stupidly well, like absolutely ridiculously well. And I think I'm confident that it sold better than Skyrim, right?
Yeah, it did. $750 million in 3 days. It had to.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. So yeah, for those reasons, I was confused as to why it wasn't Fallout 4. But we know that Fallout 4 VR is in development. Maybe they didn't want to detract away from that. We know that Nintendo Switch... hardware-wise, is not as strong as a PS4 or Xbox One, so perhaps Skyrim Special Edition was much easier to get onto the hardware of the Switch instead of Fallout 4, which is a more modern game, even though people say it doesn't look good, blah, 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 blah. It's still a very demanding game, right?
Yeah.
And definitely much more demanding than a game from 2011, even though it's remastered. Mm-hmm. So I think the process was just easier for
Probably
Skyrim.
Also Bethesda was already working on Special Edition in terms of just being hands-on with it.
And to be honest, Matty, they were probably working on Special Edition, and Nintendo came to them and said, you know what? We need a game. And Bethesda was like, well, we're working on this game already. Let's just fucking start doing that too.
Yeah, probably.
I think it was just like timing.
A lot more simpler like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, but in terms of my predictions for third parties, I don't think that third parties are going to be jumping on this console. There's been so much news about how, for example... developers of Mass Effect saying you're not going to be seeing Nintendo Switch on there anytime soon. You've been seeing Gearbox with Borderlands saying we're lukewarm on the Nintendo Switch. I think that obviously it's a catch-22. You know, it's the chicken versus the egg. You need players on the console for developers to develop for it, but developers aren't going to gamers aren't going to buy the console if developers aren't developing for it. So it's which comes first, and it's going to be a little bit more drawn out and slow as my people might think. I think you eventually, it's going to be like a domino effect. You'll get one publisher, and another publisher starting to develop games for it very slowly as the console starts to get momentum and starts to sell very well. And like, there's going to be publishers that are there supporting it with like a few specific titles. For EA, it'll be FIFA. For Bethesda, of course, it's Skyrim. You know what I mean? For 2K, it'll be their NBA game. But I don't think that we're going to see this massive onslaught of third-party support. Even in the first year, I think it's going to be a much slower process than people might think. Until the Switch proves itself, because there's been, not just in terms of relationship-wise with publishers and developers between Nintendo, but also as well, just people did not, like, the publishers and developers did not support the Wii U. They were, I guess, at the start of the Wii U launch, there were very similar feelings to what we feel now with the Nintendo Switch. And publishers coming out and saying, like, I remember seeing this interview with Ken Levine saying, we're going to support the Wii U. It's a great console. And nothing ever happened with it, did it? Like, it's a very similar feeling. So I don't think that we're going to get massive third-party support in the first year or two. I think it's going to be much slower. That's my prediction.
I think if I'm Nintendo, that they're probably going to get as much support from whoever's willing to support them out of the gate as possible. So I know Todd Howard in an interview specifically said, you know, I love the idea of the Nintendo Switch. I can't wait to support it. So there are developers for sure who are on board with it and are willing to sell their games on it. But I think usually you view these console reveal events as something just for the consumer, right? Because you know that the games are going to be there no matter what, for example, when the PS4 and the Xbox One were revealed. But with the Nintendo Switch, I think game developers and publishers are going to be sitting down and watching, thinking like, okay, let's see what they have for us, and we'll move on from there. But also, on the other side of things, they should know, because I've heard and read that Nintendo's been in direct contact many times with all these developers and publishers, trying to keep them in tune with what's going on, because they didn't do that with Wii U. They literally made the system and just expected companies to make games for them.
Yeah. So it's going to be tough, to be honest. I think Nintendo's got a little ways to go. Like, it's nice and all having an animation or a picture or whatever they had with a bunch of logos of third-party supporters, but I think that's just lip service at this stage. The Switch needs to prove itself in the eyes of those developers and publishers. Yeah. You there? Yeah, you just went silent. You all right, Maddie?
I was reading.
All right, well, let's talk about our predictions for the specs and the power and the battery life and all those hardware aspects of the Nintendo Switch. Let's first talk about just specs and power, all right? What are your predictions about the Switch? What do you think, in terms of power-wise, it's going to compare to with the PS4, Xbox One, etc.?
Like, how much power it's going to need to run, or just how much battery life it's going to have? Is that
everything? Like, how powerful do you think it's going to be comparatively with those consoles?
I think it'll be a little bit weaker, but I understand that, because you're trying to make it a mobile gaming platform in a certain way.
Mm.
But I'm not expecting a tremendous drop-off, because I think that'll just turn off a lot of gamers right away. As for the battery life, though, I think that's the biggest part of it all.
Yeah.
Now, this is coming from someone who does do handheld gaming a lot.
Bring up the beta.
No, I'm thinking, for real, that when I do a lot of my handheld gaming, it's not necessarily I view it as on the go, as like, you know, they promote in all these commercials and stuff. They're on the train. Yeah, they're on the bus, they're playing their Vita or whatever. For me, it's usually like I'm going to a friend's house, I want a game while they do something else, I'm going to bring my Vita or my 3DS. And so usually there's a charger nearby, but sometimes you're not having access to a charger, or maybe you're in the car ride, that's a place I use my 3DS or my Vita a lot, but it's not for this extended period of time. So for me, a 4 to 5 hour battery life, which is what my 3DS, what my Vita offers me, suits me perfectly fine. And I think you can get a lot out of those 4 to 5 hours that not a lot of people realize. And especially since this is a home console, I think that most people will be gaming in front of their TV. But if they were to say, okay, I'm going to go out and, for example, pick up a sandwich. While you're waiting for your sandwich for like 20 minutes or so, you're playing on your Switch, and then you grab your sandwich, you go back home, put it back in the port, it's charging. So I think for a game system that's designed to take these console games and make them portable, that a 4 to 5 hour battery life would be sufficient. It really would be.
Now, I've seen rumors talk about how the Switch could have a battery life anywhere from 3 to 5 hours. And I think my prediction...
3 is a little low, but...
That's the thing. 3 is a little low. But there's a lot of talk, of course, about... And a lot of the things about battery life is not just about the capability of the battery. It's also about how much raw power that the Switch is outputting when it's not docked, right? Mm-hmm. So... I think that, again, there's been rumors about this too. When the Switch is docked in, it's this little fucking dock or whatever, and playing on the TV, it runs better. There's more power. Like, all of the power is in the actual Switch itself. But what's going to happen when you take it out of the dock, everything's going to run a little worse. You've got a small screen, of course, so that makes sense. But it's going to run a little worse because it's trying to preserve battery power as well. And apparently... When the Switch, when you take it out of the dock, it's like 40% less powerful than what it is when it's in the dock. And that's all because a lot of that is because of battery life. So I think that maybe it's going to be 4 hours. This, my prediction, is going to be around 4 hours. They'll probably give a random range of, like, it'll be 3.5 to 4.5 or something like that, right? But a lot of that is going to depend on the game you're playing, on, you know, like the graphical requirements of the particular game, depending upon how much power and how much oomph the Switch does have when it's not docked. It's dependent on so many different factors. And, of course, battery degradation over time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have 5 hours at launch when everyone buys them, but within a year, like most phones, it could degrade too. So it could very well go down to 3 hours over time and maybe below that. So I'm going to say my prediction is like 4 hours. And 4 hours, maybe a little bit more at launch before degradation.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I didn't think of the over time the battery life will shrink a little bit.
And apparently you can't swap out the battery either.
That's not a bad thing to me. It's tedious. I think of, like, for example, not even gaming systems, but my Turtle Beach X41s. It was such a pain in the ass having to constantly swap out batteries for that. It's much easier just to have something be rechargeable if I have to put it down for an hour or two than swapping out batteries. Because here's the thing that a good thing about gaming is that, or rather a good habit to develop while gaming is taking breaks. So I like things personally that can recharge. So I put, for example, I'll play my Vita for a couple hours and then I'll see it's starting to die and I'll throw in the charger and I'll go hang out with someone. I'll go talk to my family or whatever, not because it's like, okay, I can't play my game, so, you know, I guess I'll go hang out with people. It's more so that when you get engrossed in a game, obviously you're not really thinking about much else, or at least that's how I get. And so when you break away from that experience, I think it becomes like a more healthy habit. So I just try to look at the glass half full here, right? So for me, a battery life around 4 hours, you know, that's not too bad.
But what we have to bear in mind here is that if you don't have a battery that you can take out and is replaceable, whenever your battery fucks up or whenever it degrades or whether there's a new battery that comes out that's better that increases battery life 1 to 2 years down the track, those upgrades won't be possible. And that's a sticking point for me personally, because with a lot of phones, when your battery life goes to shit, or with a lot of laptops, when your battery life goes to shit, you get a new battery for it. You don't repurchase the entire laptop or the phone again. And I think that might be a severe problem for the Switch. If it's 2 years down the track and a lot of people that bought it at launch have like 1 to 2 hours of gaming battery life on the go, they're going to feel hard done by, especially if they can't upgrade their battery. And my prediction, though, is that you won't be able to upgrade your battery, to be honest, unfortunately, but I hope that would be the case.
Mm-hmm. I don't view it as an upgradable option, just because then viewers will say, oh, you're limiting us, so we spend more money. So if I'm Nintendo, just one battery, one lifestyle.
maybe as well, and just putting it out there, they release a battery pack. Like, you know, you can buy battery packs for your phone or whatever. They release one of those that's really fit and optimized for the Nintendo Switch that charges it really fast. And you can also carry that with you as well. It might be cumbersome, but like if it's in your backpack, and you can just plug it into the battery pack while it's in your backpack and it charges. And it charges
very,
very
fast.
That's a good
idea. Something that charges the battery while you're on the go. But see, that's the thing. Now that you mentioned, I know I said, oh, I don't think that would be good to have battery swapping out. I think of like my camera, for example. And when I was at E3, you know, I'd be recording so much that my camera would start to die and I just have a backup battery. I'd put one in the charger and I'd put the other one in.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so that's not a bad idea. But it depends how much they focus on the portable aspect. If they want to make this a home console first and foremost, this, I think 4 hours is just fine rechargeable. Leave it as is.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they really want it to be something like highly portable, you really want that to be a huge focus on it, then yeah, you should have different battery levels, swappable battery packs, stuff along those lines.
And to be honest, I think that because of the way that I've been reading that the Switch can, you know, change what it's outputting power-wise when it's docked and when it's not docked, I think that a prediction that I'm going to make is that they're going to allow developers a lot of flexibility in that regard, right? They're going to allow developers to really set the texture qualities, to set the shadow levels, etc., all of that, so they can optimize their game for when it's on the go versus when it's not on the go. Because what we need to bear in mind is that Nintendo doesn't need to make sacrifices in the hardware department to save on battery life, because if they can change what games require in terms of power when it's not docked, then they can still have all those the really good hardware in there for when it is docked, right? So yeah, 4 hours, all right? 4 hours, and eventually they release a battery pack that's really optimized to charge the Switch fast. That's my prediction for battery life. But okay, not that it's going to be upgradable, unfortunately. Even though I'd like it, I don't think it's going to happen. Hmm. Now, there's one more thing about specs and power that we need to talk about. There's a lot of talk about what kind of GPU that the Switch is going to have. And essentially the discussion is they're going to have NVIDIA architecture. They're going to have the Tegra X1, right? That is actually NVIDIA's last generation chip. They have a new one that's out, and a lot of people wanting that new chip to be in the Nintendo Switch to give it more graphical capabilities. What do you think your predictions are on that? Do you think it's going to be that older one, or do you think Nintendo is going to go all out and say, you know what, let's get the newest chip in there? Or maybe even upgrade the old chip and have our own proprietary software on there. Like, what do you think is going to be the case with that? Because I know that Nintendo is not all, like, they've never been a hardware-based company. Like, they don't care about the highest, you know, power hardware. We need to have top-of-the-line 4K gaming. They never really cared about that. Like, the 3DS and the DS, to be honest, like for modern-day gaming, they look like complete crap. But that's not the important thing. The fact that the games are good. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, like you said, it really seems to boil down to where their priorities lie. So I would like to see the latest model in there. I'd figure you launch a console once every how many years? You might as well go all out, because you want the thing to age well, not just from a year from now be like, wow, this is absolute garbage. I think that there needs to be some foresight. But for me, yeah, it really doesn't matter with the graphics when I really think about it. So, but I know I don't stand for everyone on that. I know there are people who'd like their games to look good. So for me, it's kind of like a hit or miss. You could have two models, one with the Tegra 1, the other with the newest model, whatever that's called.
Tegra X2.
Tegra X2. That was an obvious one.
Or even like, again, an upgraded Tegra X1 that Nintendo's dealt with.
Honestly, like you said, Nintendo's never pushed the big tech. They've always pushed the gimmick.
Yeah, but you're right. You're absolutely right. They pushed the gimmick.
Yeah, so I kind of, I don't know. I like that aspect that they try new things outside of here's your controller, here's your system. Not that that's got redundant at all. I'm just saying more so that I like that they experiment.
Yeah.
But also you got to think of how things are nowadays, that Nintendo is known for something entirely different, that not as many people look back and think, oh, wow, I remember Nintendo when they made this, and that, you know, because there are a lot of new gamers coming in who are younger. So Nintendo's got a lot of different audiences to appeal to. You got the older audience who's like, man, I remember playing this on the NES.
Back in my day, graphics didn't matter.
You got people our age who basically grew up like during our first 10 years on Nintendo systems mostly. And then you got the new age gamers who, you know, what, the 3DS, the Wii, GameCube maybe. So there's a lot for Nintendo to account for as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But like unless I'm building a PC, specs have never mattered to me. I didn't care when it was the PS4. I didn't care when it was the Xbox One. And I don't care when it's the Switch. I just want them to succeed. So you got to also take into account, this was the first point I was going to make, but I lost my train of thought originally, was that price. The newer specs you put in, the more they have to hike the price to profit, because they're going to be investing in these specs that are top of the line, so they need to make their money back somehow.
Mm.
So that's another thing worth considering. Are you willing to take a little bit of a graphical hit for a much cheaper console and getting it into more people's hands? Or are you thinking, hey, let's bump up the price a little bit. Let's really push the technical features of our system so that people don't just brush our system aside like it's something that belongs in the past.
In terms of predictions, I think you're right that they're going to go with the lower price point and the older version of NVIDIA's X1, right? But in terms of what I want, I would like to see them go with the Tegra X2. I would like to see them try and push for a little bit more graphical capabilities and better top-of-the-line hardware, because we've seen how fast technology, you know, improves, right? We've seen how quickly the Xbox One and the PS4, in terms of the tech department, get out of date. Like, these consoles still, in most cases, can't run games at 920 to 1080 at, you know, at 30 FPS. And when you get used to playing on the PC, and I know I sound like a PC elitist right now, but when you get used to playing on the PC at those higher graphics and the higher frames, it's hard to swap in between. Eventually, I strongly believe you get used to it, but when you're going from PC and then you're going to the Switch and then you're going to your Xbox One, it can be jarring for some people. It's jarring for me because you're always changing to different resolutions and different frames. So I would personally like to see Switch to push for a little bit more in that regard, because that does make sure that a year or two down the line that it's not completely out of date. Like, that developers can't make games for it, because that's a risk as well. If developers don't have the tech at their disposal to make the games that they want to make, then they're not going to make the games that they want to make, right? Like, I've seen news about how Switch can run the Unreal Engine very well, that it can run Dark Souls very well, but then I've seen other news about how this game, there's no way it'd be able to handle Mass Effect Andromeda. So it's tough, because if better tech means we get more games on there, then of course I'd be up for that. Of course I'd be up for spending more money on that too. It's a cat and a mouse. Like, who knows?
God damn it, Nintendo. A lot of these predictions are tough to make without knowing much about the console. So it is quite tough.
I don't think my prediction is it's going to be less powerful than people might hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction. All right. So we got to the end of that. How are you feeling, Matthew?
Feeling good?
All right. Do we want to talk about what we're playing, or do we want to end it there?
Actually, there's two things. One is online play. The other is achievements and trophies.
Oh, I missed that. That's right. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we got a couple of viewer suggestions that I think we could go through, but one person was asking about online play, I think. But one that I DM'd to you specifically was the trophies and achievements. I think Nintendo desperately needs that. Enough of the in-game challenges that service their own achievements. Nintendo, I'm telling you right fucking now, there are people out there who are obsessed with trophy and achievement hunting and will have this fucking antenna in their head spring on the second you say, we have our own achievement system. I'm telling you.
I would love that.
Yeah.
And tie it in with your profile and have special benefits when you get to a certain score.
Stupid friend codes, like an actual online profile. Normal online play, I'm telling you. Right.
You have to describe that to me. How the fuck do friend codes work?
That's the thing. It's like, for example, I've been playing recently, RuneScape, where you can add someone's friend code and see when they're on. But in order for you guys to actually be friends online, they have to add your code. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you just send a request, accept it, boom.
So you can't just, like, search for usernames and shit?
No, you, like, have a friend code, which, I mean, I'm sure people out there have memorized their own if they play the 3DS a lot with their friends, which there are people out there who do that. But you have to, like, go to your profile, find your own friend code, then give it to your friend. Then he gives you his or hers, and you put theirs in, and then your friends.
So how the hell do you play online games with random people?
I think there's a thing called a Nintendo ID. I do apologize for those out there, because I'm not one who plays a lot. Actually, have I ever fucking played 3DS Online? Maybe I played Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, like, multiplayer co-op.
Well, how does Pokemon, have you played Pokemon online, like, versus other people?
Oh, no. No, that's intimidating, dude.
Because it is intimidating.
I get so proud of my squad, and I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to the scheme of things.
Because you know why? Because I remember playing it, I think it was the original DS, and you think, yeah, I beat the Elite Four, I'm going to be awesome, right? I got this sweet squad.
I get
and
the legendaries before everyone, for sure. I'm going to get in there now.
Exactly. And then you get on there, and there are fucking people with level 100 Pokemon that all their EVs and IVs are perfect. You're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I can't win. It's terrible. It's absolutely dreadful.
Yes, I finally got the new... Ugh, I'm so off track right now, but I got the new emojis finally. I was wondering why, and then I updated my iOS.
That's why. That was off-topic, it was.
No, because like someone texted me, and I clicked on the emojis, I saw new ones, I was like, yo, let's go. But, okay, do you think that they're going to do an achievement system? That's such an important aspect.
I think they will, and hopefully they... I don't know. I'm predicting that they're not going to do this, but hopefully they have their online multiplayer system to be very similar to how PS4 and Xbox One operate nowadays.
Headsets, again, party chat, not fucking stupid weird shit like you can't even communicate with people in-game.
Are you serious?
Like, I think it was Mario Kart 8, I want to say.
It was Splatoon as well. No, it was Splatoon. I remember that now. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like, what, I gotta set up a Skype call on my laptop, put that to my side, and then I can play multiplayer games on my Nintendo console. My friend's like, give me a break. That's so old school. That's so bad.
Splatoon does not have in-game voice chat because of online negativity. Wait, hold on. Hold the phone. If they're talking about Splatoon being an esports title in the initial trailer for the Switch, how do you not have in-game voice chat? How does the fuck that work? Like, Maddie, if we're playing Splatoon,
they gotta fix it, basically.
Of course.
But they can just say that's fine. Who cares? And then release it the same as is.
No, that's my prediction. I think they will have that. I think they're going to have an online multiplayer system.
That would make the most sense.
Yeah, really it's going to be more akin to what we have on Xbox One and PS4. That's going to be a bold prediction because if it's not the case now, probably they won't do it. But that's my prediction. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other outstanding items that you want to predict on for this?
Let me check Twitter.
Oh, release date. I know it's coming out in March, but specific release date.
28th.
Like, we have to go down to the day here, all right? So you think
March 28th.
In the US.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be 29th for Australia. I think, I don't know why I've had this number in my head. I'm going to say 21st of March.
See, now I had that in mind, but then I saw Andromeda, and I was like, you know what? They're not going to adjust for Andromeda, of course. It's probably already established, but for me, I think the 28th.
I have to go for it now.
It's a Tuesday, so yeah, 28th.
No, it's a Tuesday. Hold on. What's the Thursday then? No, hold on. I'm gonna get more specific.
I'm going to get more specific.
I fucking will. I'm going to say 24. No, 23rd. 23rd. In March is a Thursday. All right. I think it's going to be 23rd of March. That's my final prediction because it's a Thursday. Like, games are usually released on Thursdays, right? Mm-hmm. From memory. I don't fucking know anymore. But
yeah.
I'm going to say so 23rd for me, 28th for Maddie. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see how close we are. And that's US time.
Here's a good question, I think, to wrap up the Nintendo Switch discussion, which is there too much hype surrounding the Switch?
I'm going to say yes, even though I'm guilty of it.
Well, yeah, like, you know, there absolutely is, because Nintendo has not proven shit yet. They really haven't. They have a really good concept here, but they haven't shown much. So, yeah, I think the hype here is quite dangerous.
But do you know what's funny, though, Maddie? Like, people will blame Nintendo for that, like, for the hype. But Nintendo's not doing shit. Like, and maybe that's the problem, that they're not talking about it enough. But I understand why they're doing the marketing the way they're doing. But... it's really the media and the game outlets that are hyping this thing up and the YouTubers to no fucking end. If anything, it's our fault for hyping this thing up. I don't think, you know, the question was trying to attribute blame here. I think about whether it's too hyped up in general. I think it is too hyped up in general, and I think we're mostly to blame for it. Like, people like me that are like, I'm so excited for the Switch, I can't wait to play on the go, like, play on the train and shit. Like, I'm to blame for that, and I can admit that. But I would hope that, you know, after No Man's Sky and Mighty Number 9 and all those kinds of things. No, we're not putting Fallout 4 in that fucking basket.
No, but we're going to put Fallout 4 in the basket of games that, and we were part of it, that were hyped, and just at the end of the day were, that didn't do the trick as much as we'd want it to.
In certain respects. But I would hope that, you know what? No, it's gamers are like this. Like, we like to get excited. We like to get pumped. And to be honest, I think that's what makes us special. Like, I think that's what makes us gamers. The fact that we can get so excited and passionate about a product.
That's why I never understood the approach of, I just expect everything to be a train wreck. So when I play it, I'm always surprised.
I'm not disappointed.
Yeah, I always say, like, you're just kind of psyching yourself out into liking games. I understand being cautious. But here's the thing is, like, for me, I'll make videos on whatever I'm interested in, what I'm excited about, or maybe what I'm concerned about. But I'm not trying to, because you made a good point about how, like, YouTubers and the press are hyping it up. What a lot of consumers, viewers don't realize is that, like, we do that because YouTubers specifically, we're just interested in it. We're excited about it. But we're not saying, like, yo, you got to be excited about this with me. Part of the discussion is people making their own interpretation of the product with you and saying, like, exactly. Well, maybe I'm not as excited about it. Not like, yo, Maddie, let's go, bro. I'm on the hype train with you, dude. Like, let's ride this thing into the fucking ground, which is always a fun ride. But I'm just saying that because then that leads to the blame game, right? After, if it's not as successful, it's like, it was your fault. You hyped it up. It's like, I was excited. You didn't have to be.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And I think that this discussion should be about making up your own minds, reading, you know, the articles you want to read, listen to the people you want to listen to, but make your own decision. Like, if you want to be hyped up, you need to know that you might be let down. Any kind of hype, there's always that risk. If you're going to have this pessimistic...
I always say that to people. I'm like, hype at your own risk. If you want to blow the roof off, exactly. Go for it. For me, like, with Mass Effect, I'm like, I really feel bad for people because it's setting itself up for a... I think, like, a Fallout 4 scenario. I really do, because they've been holding a lot of info back. It's that big, big series. It's the big game. Everyone's excited. But you really don't – just you don't know that much about the game when you think about it.
No, you don't.
I'm sure you'll hear a little bit more in the coming months. But, you know, we have a release date. We don't really know quite where it's set in the timeline other than after 3. We know it's in a different galaxy from 3. There's very vague baseline details, which is good because we don't want to know everything going into the game. That's another big issue, but still – it's so vague that, you know, it could be set up for a disappointment because what last game was really vague and we hardly had any details on up until launch, No Man's Sky. So, like I said, hype at your own risk. If you're a Mass Effect fan, for example, since we're using that right now, and you're like, let's go, Andromeda's my shit, then by all means. But like Lone said, don't be too shocked if you're setting yourself up for some potential disappointment.
Yeah. Like, do what you want to do. Like, the best form of protection, of course, of not getting disappointed is tempering your expectations and stuff. But if you want to get excited for a product like I am for the Switch, then fucking do it. Just bear in mind that if you are disappointed, I know this might be a little bit of victim blaming, but it does fall a little bit on you because whether it's coming from Nintendo, like, you can't expect them not to hype up their own product. Like, that's just stupid, okay? They're not going to be like, you know what? The Switch is okay. You can buy it if you want. Like, who the fuck is going to do that? No one, all right? So the best form of protection is by tempering your own expectations. And if you want to get hyped up, just know that you might be let down. That's the long and short of it.
I call it the natural process. I'm just like, I'm gonna play the game. I'll watch whatever trailers I catch. If I want to watch them, sometimes my form of protection is I'll hold off on a game trailer or two, you know, unless it's like a game I'm covering.
Yeah.
Then I'll watch them. But for a lot of games that I'm looking forward to, if I'm not covering it or talking about it on the channel, I'll watch a trailer or two and I'll be good. I'll be like, okay, I'm interested in the game. I'm going to try it out. Because after that, you're basically spoiling big parts of the game for yourself. So for me, after that, what I do is the natural process. I just play it as blind as possible and just interpret the experience for myself. You know, with hype or not. It's just how I roll with it. And it works very well. I've been enjoying games for the past year or so because of it a lot more than I used to, so it's something we're thinking about.
Yeah, but to answer the question, it's definitely too hyped. It's definitely too hyped, but that's
at least
us,
right now really. When after the reveal it could be justifiable, I'd say.
Yeah, alrighty, so are we ending it there, or are we going to go on like with fan questions and shit? I can send out a tweet, Maddie. I can get those fan questions if you really want.
I mean, I don't really care. It doesn't make a difference to me. I mean, we haven't talked about any of the other bits, so
no, we haven't. All right, so we're gonna send out a tweet. All right,
okay.
Ask questions for podcast. Go. It's gonna be real time. All right, you know what? This is what we're gonna have to do, Maddie. We're gonna have to answer the questions as soon as they come in. No hesitation.
Oh, jeez.
Are you ready for that?
I'm sure. In the meantime, are you playing any games?
I'm doing my regular, you know, Let's Playing. I'm doing Fallout 4. I'm doing the original Assassin's Creed.
4?
In terms of what I want to move on to next, it's going to be Titanfall 2.
Ooh.
And Shadow of Mordor. I'm excited to play that because I know how good it is. And you've played it. So tell me, why is that game good?
Nemesis system.
I knew you were going to mention that. I was going to say, like, you always talk about the Nemesis system, but...
Yeah, that and the combat. It's literally Arkham Knight with blood. And you're chopping heads off. It's really satisfying. It's a lot of fun.
Sweet.
And you'll like it because you've been playing Assassin's Creed 1, and it's kind of got that similar open world structure where you'll, like, crawl to a big object, and it'll scan the area and add objectives on your map. It kind of runs like that in the open world.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, all right. And what are you playing?
Lately, I've been playing Diablo 3, Reaper of
Souls. Interesting, because I always wanted to get into that, and I just never had the people to play with.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I've tried playing it twice by myself, didn't do the trick, and what's weird is I've grown up on games like that. I played Baldur's Gate, Champions of Arms, and those clicked really well with me growing up, and they were a similar type of game, the over-the-top, beat-em-up, loot-focus, create-your-own-character type of thing. Diablo 3 didn't do that until I finally got a squad of 4. It's fucking sick now. It's a lot of fun. I haven't beat it quite yet. We're on Act 3 right now, for those who do play Diablo 3, which I think is... it's the Reaper of Souls version, so we have 2 acts left. And, I mean, it's not anything... I don't know where it got, like, a crazy following from. I think it's from the post-launch support that Blizzard gives their games that makes Diablo 3 so appealing.
Hmm.
But it's not like anything crazy different from what I've seen as a kid. I do like constantly changing all my abilities. I do like a lot of the end game content from what I've seen. There's like a Paragon system where you can continuously upgrade your hero. There's a lot to the game for sure. So I'm very much enjoying it. And like I said, Blizzard's literally got me by the balls. I've been just bouncing back and forth between Diablo and fucking Overwatch. Like, it's no wonder these guys make insane amounts of money.
That's
Hearthstone,
brilliant.
Overwatch, Diablo. What? They're all fucking games that they can make tons of cash on. They do make tons of cash on. I'm sorry. So, okay. Yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Alrighty. So let's move on to the fan questions. The first one that comes in is a great question to start things off. At James SY, a bunch of numbers. Most anticipated game of 2017.
Persona 5.
Persona? Why Persona 5?
Why?
Here we go.
Are you serious?
Answer the question, Matthew.
It's... okay. Persona 4 is like one of my favorite games of all time. So yeah, 5 is going to be my most anticipated of the year. 4 is just from the sounds of the story, to the fucking gameplay. Everything is just linked together in this brilliant fashion that you don't see all that often. And it's got one of the best expanded universes in the terms of anime and spin-off games. So Persona 4, just in general, holds a really special place in my heart. And so 5, I really expect to carry the torch. I've heard it does a phenomenal job. It could be better than 4. I'm not really setting my expectations there because I love 4 to death. I mean, I just played Dancing All Night, which is like a spin-off rhythm dancing game. It's so fucking good, too. I don't know how they do it. That's the thing. They take so good care of the series, really, is why I'm confident in 5. Because it's a spin-off fucking dancing game. You could cash in on that, whatever, but they have, like, a good story. There's a lot of replay value there. The fucking music is good. The gameplay is addicting. It's such an obscure title, yet they put so much focus and effort into it. When it comes to new actual entries in the Persona series, like, yeah, I'm very excited for 5. So that's my most anticipated game.
Okay.
Go on, tell me yours so I can question you about it.
You know what mine is. Mine is Breath of the Wild.
Why, dude? Why?
Because I haven't played a Legend of Zelda game in a very long time, and I think that this will be a great game to play to get back into the series. And especially because of the Virtual Console, I'll be able to go back and play all of them as well. So that is definitely my most anticipated game. Plus, it does look really good. Like, I played it. looks phenomenal. It does look phenomenal. So,
do you think Nintendo's going to change their YouTube policy? That's a good question. Their YouTube and streaming policy with the launch of the Switch. Do you think they're going to be like, okay, we like you guys now. Help us out. They should. They should. If they're fucking smart, they really should. Because YouTubers will beef that thing the fuck up. I'm not even kidding. Because I want to review Nintendo Switch games, but I'm not going to if they're going
to
fucking...
I'd love to take
revenue from me. You know, YouTube already takes enough from content creators. Why get less?
I'm going to say no. I don't think that they're going to remove that.
I don't think they will, but I hope they do. Because I'd like to make Switch
reviews. I'd love to make videos on Nintendo games, Maddie. Like, I'd love to do Let's Plays of Nintendo games, but it's just the world we live in, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Especially because in Australia, we don't have fair use. So, woohoo! Okay.
Wow.
I know. You know it's illegal to make a meme here? That's right. I'm not even joking. It is.
Holy fuck.
Because we don't have fair use.
All right. So we
can't do Let's Plays. Like, legally, technically can't do Let's Plays.
Next question?
Next question. This is a great one from at Desert Ranger. What would you do if you were in a video game? I like that question. So if you're a character or something, I guess is what he's trying to get to. Who would you be? What kind of character? Would you be like the random NPC that says like one random fuck off line every time you cross him? Like, weather's nice today, is it not? Or some shit like that.
If I were to look at myself honestly as a voice actor, I'd say I don't have any stretch of the imagination. Mind you, this is with no training whatsoever, but I don't view myself as someone with a protagonist voice. I don't have that. I view myself as like a party member in like a JRPG. Like I'm a side character.
Of course you are.
That's how I view myself. Because I get like excited. I get worked up easily. Okay, I can like show irritation. Like I can get good emotion through my voice. It's just that like I sound like a geek most of the time. So I think where else is an English geek voice acceptable but a fucking English dub JRPG or anime? Really, it's the truth. I'm not saying that because a lot of people think I'm a fucking weeb. I'm saying that because that's the goddamn truth. That's probably the best genre I would fit in as a gamer. So I'd view myself, as like a side character, you know, one of the main party members in a JRPG.
All right. Fair
or
enough.
Like a really, really cheesy villain. Like really fucking bad.
like one of the mini bosses or something.
Yeah. Like, ha, 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 you stumbled into my lair. You know, some stupid shit like that.
For me, because of my accent, and I don't have that like that raspy like accent that you always get in video game protagonists. I don't think I'd ever be a protagonist. I think I'd be comic relief. I think I'd be like that random side character that says something funny every now and again, and oh, he has a funny accent. That's who I think I'd be, to be honest, because of my Aussie accent. Let's be honest here. Let's see if we got another good question. Here we go. At Armitez asks. No, sorry. At Call Me Jocker asks. Any plans for your channels in terms of content for 2017? What are your plans for your channel in 2017, Matthew?
I have big plans being announced soon.
So you can't talk about it, can you?
But on the other side of things, in terms of content, like the change is kind of in place. Like I've been more, how do I word it? I felt from time to time in my videos kind of like danced around my opinion a little bit where like I'd let you know how I thought, but I try to put it in the nicest way possible. So one of the changes in my content is just being like really straightforward, not in the point of being rude, but just like, okay, this is how it is. And if you disagree, that's fine, but it's not going to bother me. Cause you know, it was always like this desperation for acceptance on YouTube. And at this point, like I know I have an audience. I know I have people who accept me. It's time just, I wouldn't say to be me cause I've always been me. It's just like, it's time just to fucking drop the pussy game here and just kind of... No, I'm not even kidding. Just, like, go head first in. The other side of it is that I've been looking at my numbers. My watch time has skyrocketed, and that's because I've been talking about other games. I made a Star Wars video that's done as well as a Bethesda video. My RuneScape video is doing as well as that. I have, like, this concurrent audience who's just been watching really anything.
Yeah.
So I've been really flexible and, like, I told you this before last week's cast, I think it was, that I've just been fucking enjoying the hell out of YouTube a lot more because there's this flexibility. It's like, I don't really care about views. I don't care about subscribers. It's just, I'm having a lot of fun making videos again. And that's important because it's showing in my content, you know, my ratings have gone up, the amount of comments I'm getting, especially positive ones at that, have gone up. I'm glad that people are realizing the effort I'm putting in since I've gone full time. So yeah. It's really motivating. And those are some of the changes I'm making on the side. The big, I don't even want to say changes, the big plans are going to be announced. Actually, today's Sunday. Oh, 6 days. Wait, what? Hold on, wait. Soon. Yeah, I don't know when.
Soon.
I think it's a little bit more than a week, but I'm not sure yet.
All right. And for me, it's same old that I've been saying. Like, I'm just going to keep doing Let's Plays because I enjoyed it. I enjoy it. I am treating YouTube as a hobby, and that's about it. Like, I just don't give a shit about, you know, stressing about views anymore. Honestly, I don't. And I'm having a lot of fun. Like, I'm really, like, how often does Lone talk about to play another game? Like, I'm about to play Titanfall, I'm about to play Shadow of Mordor. Like, that never happened before, because now that I've incorporated playing games with YouTube, I'm actually fucking playing games, and that's an awesome feeling for me. So yeah, that's just going to be my content moving forward. Now, Maddie, we know that every week he asks a great question, and he's asked a particularly good question. Like, he always thinks of the best questions. You know who I'm talking about. Say his name. Say his name. Go on.
No, I did it last time.
He deserves the respect for us.
I gave him respect last week, and he has my respect still. I don't need to say his fucking name again.
At Ratchet 570. All right. This is a great question, you have to admit. What game do you think would fit well in another genre? For example, Skyrim being a fighting game. See? You see what I mean? These are good questions, bro. I think we touched on it before. We said that having like a Skyrim Pokemon type of game, I think that would work. But it's I think he's more talking about like a very different genre, like Fallout in a driving game. Like, for example, what do you think would work well?
I mean, I just played one that was similar to that. You know, I just mentioned it before too, is that Persona 4 Dancing All Night is like that game. Persona 4 is a JRPG through and through, very accessible to a Western audience, mind you, but I played a dancing rhythm game spin off of that. So like that's as off the beaten path as you can get. So I guess you're looking for something like that. Okay. Looking around my room at all my figures, all my games.
Nothing.
You got any ideas while I think?
Because I'm trying to think of different genres here, because like fighting to another, like an action genre is kind of an easy answer. I'm going to go all out here, and I'm going to say a Mad Max purely driving game. I think that would be awesome. Like,
that sounds fitting, though.
Mad Max, and that's the thing, right? Like, Mad Max is really known for the crazy vehicles, and it's not just about this wasteland. It's about the cars you drive, and especially the last movie, and also the last game as well. There was a bit of driving in there. I think that a purely dedicated Mad Max driving game would do so well, right? Like, you could customize your vehicles with different weapons and shit. I know games have tried that in the past. I can't remember them for the life of me. Like, Rage had that. I had that multiplayer game.
I just got the weirdest idea.
Tell me.
Take every notable character in Fallout games. You got Leggett, Linnaeus? I fuck up his name every time.
Leggett Linnaeus, yeah.
No, I said Linnaeus and then people corrected me. Which one fucking is
Wait,
it?
What did I correct you to?
No, because I've said Linnaeus in videos and people are like, no, Matt, it's Linnaeus.
It's not fucking Linnaeus. Slap those people. What the fuck?
I don't know, dude. I'm so conflicted on his name. Anyway, I'm getting off track. So you got like him,
yeah.
Sarah Lyons. Like, take these main characters,
yeah,
from the Fallout franchise. Dynasty Warriors spinoff. Let's go. Fallout Warriors.
Fuck off.
Take every like main companion. Take fucking Boone. Take Lily.
No, because Boone would just be running around, I lost my wife, give me back my beret.
Dude, I'm telling you, that would be so much fun. Or like Bethesda Warriors, and like Corvo, the Dragonborn, the Soul Survivor. Come on, you gotta admit, that would be kind of cool.
That would be cool. I got something that's like, similar.
So you bad, said, it's good.
You said Bethesda.
Boy is like a hidden unlockable character. Dude, Bethesda, hire me. I'm right here.
All right, I'm going to say this. A Bethesda character fighting game, right? Could you imagine fighting as the fucking Vault Boy, like smiling with a thumbs up and that's your fatality?
Dude, I wish a Bethesda fucking fighting game would be amazing.
That would be awesome. Like, absolutely brilliant.
Wow, they need to hire us. We'd make some killer spinoffs. We'd get that New Vegas 2 finally if we were there.
Oh, yeah. You know, if Obsidian was in charge, we'd already have New Vegas 2, Matty.
Right.
Did you know that? Like, we'd have it already. Like, this game would be the best game. It'd be on the Switch, too. It'd be on everywhere.
10 out of 10. Refunds. No bad reviews.
No, sure. Nothing. It would be a perfect game.
You know, when we make this joke, some people actually take it as we hate Obsidian. That's why we make the joke. I kid you not. They're like, they love Bethesda so much they get mad that people like Obsidian. It's like, no, we fucking love Obsidian just as much.
We're just joking, for fuck's sake.
God.
Anyways, we've got to the end of the podcast. Any final words, Matthew?
No. Hour and 40 minutes. Good job.
So we've increased the length, huh? That's what we do. Alrighty, you can end it. I've been talking a lot.
I thought I've been talking a lot. All right.
We've both been talking a lot,
Well, thank you guys for tuning in to episode 90 of the Ham Radio Podcast. We hope you're looking forward to the future of things between Lo and I and our new upcoming member of the podcast. It's going to be a really interesting year. We're going to really try to push things forward with the show. Also, the face cams are going to be coming back soon. I should put that out there at the end here that we are going to be bringing back the face cams. That's something that we're not getting rid of. I just realized we're going to have to redo the art, though, for that, aren't we? All right, we're going to have to hit up Kiki Wonka about that. Okay, anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed. We hope you guys are looking forward to stuff, and we will catch you in week 91.